Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. This is the 330th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of today's message is Part 3 in Handel and Jennings Messiah. And we're going to focus exclusively out of Isaiah. We're going to be in chapter 40, verse 9, chapter 60, verses 1, 2, and 3, chapter 9, verses 2 and 6. And I'll tell you, this is perhaps my most favorite part of this entire musical apologetic. Remember, folks, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, Messiah, in musical form. Remember, there's three parts to this thing: his nativity, and then we're going to start next week with his passion and resurrection. And then ultimately, we conclude with his ascension and soon return. So I'm telling you, folks, If you like music, and I know your genre might be different than this, and you might be rolling your eyes and saying, why is he doing this? Folks, I'm telling you what, there was some sort of divine connection between these two men, Handel and Jennings, when they put this together. So before we get into this part, okay, and we're going to play parts 9 through 12 These are all numbered. I told you through that. I think he was a composer, G. Schrimner. He numbered all the different movements. That wasn't done by Handel or Jennings. But anyways, before we get into these parts 9 through 12, there was a documentary or a docudrama written back in 2000. Actually, it was aired back in 2014 by BYU TV. And I know they're Mormons and all that stuff, but they have some good programming on there. And Mitch Davis produced this, or wrote it, I should say. And it's a 78-minute drama. It was filmed on location, you know, in Italy and Germany. And this is really multinational because Handel was German, I believe it was. And yet he moved to England and then from England to Ireland to basically launch this masterpiece. So anyways, Davis wrote this script, and he had spent years exhaustively researching, you know, interviews with music experts and historians and religious leaders. And then he actually had historic reenactments of some of the key behind the scene type stories that are so crucial to what we have today known as Messiah. So I'm telling you, folks, it's well worth watching. You can search for it online, and I have to stop using that term, Google it. We're giving Google way too much credit. I just saw in the ticker the other day on the news that Google's over $1,000 a share. Every time we say it, we're advertising for them, folks. Search for it on the internet. And if you can't find a link to the video, just give me a quick email. And again, it's kdbeer1961@gmail.com. And I'll send you a link out to that. It's on the BYU TV page. And you can just stream it right to your TV. It's well worth the watch. Anyways, part 9, and this is titled, O Thou That Tellest Good Tidings. Now, this is what's known as an alto aere, so an alto, I should say. Alto sings it. And this also has a chorus involved, and I love the choruses. We're going to conclude with a chorus. And it's rather long. It's 7 minutes. And it's all about Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. So if you have your Bibles, open it up. And just have this verse before you as you listen to this. Allow that allow the Holy Spirit to just minister to you. But listen to these words. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. And then over in Isaiah 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So let's listen to this, Handel, part 9. O that tellest good tidings to Zion. Wow. Did you hear those repeating themes? Behold your God from Isaiah 40 verse 9. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you from verse 1 out of chapter 60. You know, here what Isaiah is doing is calling upon all the prophets of this age, all that were alive at that time. And he's telling them to take up a position of authority. Speak with a loud voice. You know, folks, they were to proclaim the good news to Zion, to Jerusalem, and all the cities of Judah. You know, if you want to know more about this, read Isaiah 44, verse 26. And then he goes on and gives them specific terms in how to proclaim this good news. You know, all you have to do is read verses 10 and 11 for yourself out of chapter 40. So just go ahead and read those for yourself. Folks, I'm telling you, God's speaking to us through this music. You know, just think about this. Take this heavenly music, okay, and couple it with his words. And just for a moment, imagine what worship in the throne room must actually be like. Okay, enough with my commentary. And hang on there, because I got some what I believe is Holy Spirit moved commentary at the end after chapter 12, after number 12. So hang in there. But I want to share this with you because it's something I see going on right now in the blogosphere. But let's right now move on to part 10. And this is titled, For Behold, Darkness Shall Cover the Earth. And this is sung by a bass. So someone with a really deep voice, you know, authority. And it's a recitation. It's about 5 minutes, 40 seconds long. And he focuses here on Isaiah chapter 60, verses 2 and 3. And let me read you those words. And I encourage you to open your Bible as you listen to this and just ponder those words, reflect upon those words, and allow this music to minister to you as the Holy Spirit shows you truths about this word. Now here it is, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 2 through 3. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Some powerful words there, folks. So let's listen to this in Messiah. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth.
Behold,
Darkness and light. You know, this whole passage reminds me of another time of darkness and light. And that was back in Egypt when that thick evil darkness just covered the land. And then at the command of Moses, you know, we started to see a change as he established the foundation for the Exodus. You know, he locked horns with Pharaoh. Read about it in Exodus chapter 10. Focus on verse 22. Now, the only light that remained was inside the vessels of the children of Israel at the time, because both the world and the nations, they were in this grave darkness. You know, just picture, you know, what I thought of there were some of those old movies where they played this kind of music to try to let you know that there was a darkness present. And I could just picture, like, there's hardly a ray of light, spiritual light, that could penetrate it. From God. Then suddenly the glory of Israel, the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, the very, very glory from the throne itself dawned upon earth. Folks, this is the incarnation of God himself through the baby Jesus. The very glory of God from the throne room. And I'm telling you, that's good news. So let's move on to part 11. The people that walked in darkness. This is sung by a bass also, and it's called an area. It's about 4 minutes, 16 seconds long. And here we focus on verse 2 out of Isaiah chapter 9. And here are the words. Again, just open your Bible. Have those words before you. and just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you as this music is playing. And here are the words. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. So this is part 11 of Messiah. Praise the Lord. You know, folks, as believers, we have all seen this great light. Do you know there's no shadow without light? So let me ask you a question. Are you in spiritual darkness right now? Are you in the valley the shadow of death right now? Well, if so, folks, just look to the light. His name is Jesus. I'm telling you the truth here. If you look to the light, the shadow is going to fall behind you, and then you won't see it. Remember, there can be no valley without mountains and no shadows without light. Praise the Lord. The light is the love. You know, it's the other side of the same coin. You know, Jesus said, I'm light. Jesus said, I'm love. The Bible tells us that perfect love, which is Jesus, casts out all fear. So stop being afraid of shadows, okay? If you're a believer, just turn to the light. And if you're not, just turn to the light. Amen? Now, folks, we're going to conclude part one, the nativity, with what I believe is the best news of all, okay? And it's titled, For Unto Us a Child is Born. And this is a chorus. And it's 4 minutes, 13 seconds long, and it's from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And hang on, because I have some thoughts afterwards about something that's going on right now in the blogosphere and in the internet and with so many people that have their shows. And I want to share this with you. But let me read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Folks, that passage right there, it says it all. So just listen to those words. Have your Bible out to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you as we listen to For Unto Us a Child is Born.
Such a
For unto us a child is born. Now, there's something very powerful to ponder in that passage, folks. Just think about this. If he is the mighty God and he is the Son of God, then Jesus has to be co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father. And folks, I'm telling you, it just grieves me about what I'm hearing. And Sister Kathy brought this up to me, and I'm seeing it now. There's a movement out there today. I don't know what they're called, Torah folks, Yahweh people, but they all have one thing in common. They're denying that Jesus Christ is both Son of God and God the Son, co-equal with God the Father. Folks, there's one element to Orthodox Christianity. The faith once delivered unto the saints from the time of Jude when he penned those words all the way till now. And that is that our one God is three persons in nature. God the Father is not God the Son. And God the Son is not God the Holy Spirit. But God the Father is God. God the Son is God. And God the Holy Spirit is God. And there is one God. So this is either true, folks, or God's a liar. And I'd say it's true. Plus, this means that God will see to it that our King Jesus reigns. He is mighty God. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And that's what it says right here. He is the mighty God. Now, here's what these Christ deniers say. They'll take this passage and they'll say, well, bro, Ken, what Isaiah is saying there is that Jesus is the mighty God, but he isn't almighty God, just mighty God. Well, when you hear that argument, folks, lay down and let him walk all over you. Use this point from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, okay, to actually correct them. Yes. Don't allow them to use it against you to say that Jesus doesn't equate to Yahweh or Jehovah. They're going to say that. They're going to say that Jehovah is the Almighty God, but Jesus, he's only mighty God. And I've heard that. Now, if anyone ever tries to pull this lie on you, just ask them to read Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. In fact, I'm telling you, folks, that's a verse worth printing out. Why don't you just print out verse 30, Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, and print out 18 while you're at it. Fold it up on a little note card, put it in your wallet so you don't forget it, okay? Or post it on your refrigerator, whatever you have to do. And let me read it to you, okay? Here's Jeremiah speaking of the Lord, King of kings and King, Lord of lords. Listen to what he says in chapter 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord, that's like Jehovah God. I behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Isn't that a good verse? But then notice how he continues in verse 18. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of the children of them. Now listen to this, the great, the mighty God. Folks, that's exactly the same term that's used for Jesus right here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The mighty God, the Lord of hosts. Now, that means that Jehovah of hosts in Jeremiah 32, verse 18, the Almighty God is the very same one being spoken of by Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 6. In other words, the mighty God and Jehovah are one and the same. So there's no mistaking this. The babe that was born in Bethlehem, folks, is this great, great God of ours, the Almighty God, in person. He's the everlasting Father, the mighty God. I'm telling you, folks, he's great in position. The government is upon his shoulders. We heard it in that passage. And he is great in power. He is mighty. He is the Almighty God. So if anybody denies Christ and his deity, folks, just turn from them. Turn from them. Shake the dust off your feet and walk away. Because Jesus, he's the mighty God. He's great in position. He's great in power. And he's great in person. Listen to what John tells us in his second epistle, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. When you encounter people that deny the deity of Jesus Christ, they say, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And we're talking about Christology here. What does the Bible teach us from Genesis to Revelation concerning the nature and person of the Lord Jesus Christ? So if someone doesn't abide in the doctrine of Christ as the Word of God tells us, okay, hath not God. He hath not abideth the doctrine of Christ, and he hath both the Father, and the Son. If they come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So in other words, if they're not equating Jesus as co-equal to the Father, don't have anything to do with them. So I'm telling you, folks, stand fast in the faith and be blessed in Jesus. I love y'all, folks, and I hope you're back next week as we continue in this musical apologetic, and we're going to get into the next part, part two, his passion, the work he did for yours and my salvation. So again, let's just let this passage from number 12, for unto us a child is born, minister to us. I love y'all, and provided the Lord's willing, I'll be back next week.